Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's nice to have a fairly full church this morning. Thank you, Robson, for boosting the numbers. Pleased to welcome our visitors this morning, and special welcome to Robson, who's my friend from college, who's going to be bringing God's word to us this morning. So we look forward to that. We tend to start our service with family news. And noticing, is there anything that anyone's got to tell us?
We should be running around.
London, yeah? Got a guy coming down from London City Mission next Sunday. So I hope you can be here for that. Unfortunately, I won't be here because I'm on holiday and taking a break. I'm escaping for a week. There will be no Bible study on Wednesday night. There will be tea and chat on Tuesday morning, though. We like that. Anything else? No? Yeah, okay, we have got Caleb here with us this morning. He is highly allergic to peanuts, so if anyone's been around peanuts this morning, can you keep away from him? That'd be good.
Yeah.
Have we got any birthdays this week? Or did we get them all out of the way last week? We got them all out of the way, all in one go. Okay. No, put it away, mate. Right, let's open in prayer. Father, we want to thank you and praise you that at the beginning of this new day, we can gather together. Thank you for bringing us into this place. Father, would you bless our time this morning? Would you still our hearts to recognize your presence? Father, may we know you with us. And Father, I pray that all that's said and done here this morning would be to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we start with a couple of songs this morning, beginning with As We Are Gathered. I nearly confused you, didn't I? As we are gathered, Jesus is here. You'd like to stand if you're able.
Jesus.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Paul rejoiced that in his troubles he's held and sustained by the prayers of God's people. And one of the joys of church is the ability to pray for one another. So we come to our prayer time. I have one prayer request. Is there anything else that needs adding to our prayers? Father, we thank you that you do hear our prayers. We thank you that you want us to come to you with those things that are on our hearts, those people that we love and we care for. And so, Father, we lift these to you now. And we ask that you would bless them in ways that we don't know and we don't understand. We don't always know what's the right thing for the people that we love, but you know. So, Father, I pray for your touch of healing, your touch of comfort, your holding and sustaining love. And, Lord, I pray for the wider situations in the world. We rejoice that in this country, COVID cases seem to be improving, and we just pray that that would continue, but that that would be shared throughout the world. And Lord, we pray for those countries undergoing conflict and difficulty. Lord, would you bring peace? Would you bring reconciliation? Would you bring healing? Would you bring your kingdom? Lord, set people in those places. Turn the hearts of rulers to you. Lord, I pray for the government of this country that they might be led by you to do your will. And Lord, I pray for your church throughout the world, that it might be strong and courageous and confident in sharing your gospel, that your name might be known and worshipped. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we sing again this morning. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after.
Thank you. Does anybody know, is there somebody in this building who was actually 21? So the actual age. But we'd like to wish a happy birthday on behalf of the congregation, and Debbie has got a card for you. Debbie's going outside indiscreetly so that nobody notices. So we just talk about yourself for a few moments and pretend this is a nice to see a nice few congregation here this morning. Welcome, everyone.
Verses 1 to 11. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet him, God? My tears have been my day and night. My people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Massa, deep calls to deep in the roar of the waterfalls. All your waves of brightness have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning and oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, as my foes taught me, saying to me all day long, where's your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Mm-hmm.
going to sing once more before the children go out. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. And I pray that you would bless them as they go out to their activities, that you would help them to have a good time, help them to learn something of you. And Father, I pray that you would bless us as we stay and hear your word together. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through Robson as he brings your word to us, that you would give us ears to hear. Father, would you just bless this time to us? In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll let the children go out and I'll hand over to Robson to do the rest of it. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. It is actually a great pleasure, you know, to be invited by Helen to come and share with you the Word of God this morning. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a background so you know who I am and where I come from. So my name is Robson. So I have with me my family, Adriana, my three daughters, Isabella, Ana Luisa and Beatrice, and Isabella's husband, James. And I have also Bella's in-law, Laurel and Charina. We're glad to be here. I'm originally from Brazil. You may wonder what accent that I have. So you please be aware to be a very forgiving people. As I preach, you may hear some funny words, funny accent, maybe wrongly said, but it's from my heart, and I would like to bless you this morning with a meditation on Psalm 42. I've been in this country since 1990. Came as a missionary to work among the Portuguese-speaking people in London area. So I pastor a Portuguese-speaking church, at West Bombay Baptist Church, for many years. So then I went to Portugal for some time, about 6.5 years, and then we came back in 2009. We've been serving in different places as well, and the Portuguese-speaking church is in London as well. In Sudbury, yes, the Sudbury Baptist Church, and then Hemel for 2 years. Finally, I was invited to be the pastor where I'm pastoring today, which is Camberwell Baptist Church. I'm there for 5 years now as pastor of the church. Church is growing, and also the challenges every day. And I'm sure you also have challenges every time. excuse me, I'm going to get to water. I'm sure most of you in your lifetime have faced crisis, trials, tribulations. You may have gone through a time in your life until you felt a kind of a very dry place, and you're longing for a relief, longing for something. The psalm, actually, it is a reminder for us that I just want to tell you before we start, there is a God in heaven. And also there is a throne in heaven, which is not empty. So that means he's on the throne. Whatever situation you go through, whatever time, hard time you go through, everything happens for a purpose. You may do not understand. We may have questions, like we're going to see the questions of this psalm this morning. And I also ask to be to speak in 20 minutes. And as a pastor, you know, we like to talk, don't we? We like to speak, we like to preach. And I'll try to be as quick as I can. But I hope to bless you. Also, maybe the word that I'm going to share with you maybe will bless only one person. I hope it bless more than one. But maybe God brought me all the way from Brazil to give you a word this morning. And as Helen said, I pray that you have ears to hear what God wants to tell you this morning. So the psalm we just read, it's actually, it is a wonderful message for us. Let's pray once again before I move on. Father, just would like to commit myself this morning and ask you for your grace and mercy this morning. So I can speak only your words. I can only share what you have for this people this morning. Use me as a vessel. Let no words of mine come forth. But let every word that you want me to say be wrapped by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And will touch the hearts of people here this morning. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to each and every one as you have spoken to me on this hour. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Normally when we read a passage in the scripture, it's good to ask who wrote it. What did he write? And what was the background? Why did he write it? And what is the message behind the text, and actually the text itself? And what does God is telling us? And how can we apply this message to our lives? As you know, this psalm is called the Psalms of Korah. Who was Korah? Those of you, I'm sure, you may not be like my church, but you're probably very biblical. You know your Bible very well. And, you know, that Korah was one of those guys who rebelled against Moses. And there was three of them. And then Korah was one of them. And but it is interesting is that on that day, those people who rebelled against God's authority over Moses was destroyed. And but then we see here this sound for the children of Korah. Why? Because the children did not follow their father's footstep on that rebellious attitude. So God is a merciful God. Some people think that, oh, I have done wrong and God is going to punish me or my children for what I've done. No, God is not a God who's going after us to punish us. It is an example is right there in Genesis, where when Adam and Eve sinned against God, God didn't go after them with a rod in his hand to beat them up. He went after them and gave them some clothes to cover their shame and to show them that there is a way, and the way was him. So this is a blessing to know that the sons of Korah were here ministering in the house of God. I'm not going to the details of too much information for you, but this psalm talks about deliverance. It actually corresponds to the book of Exodus. And with the key word in this psalm is the word deliverance. It is written, and the intention of the writer was to give glory to God in his temple, in his city. And there was a great desire and longing for freedom where he then compared with the deer longing for the water. And in other words, be not far from me, O God. Be not far from my soul. When was the last time we felt that? That we were far away from God, but then we desired God again. So in my reflection on this psalm, this is what I would like to share with you. As we study the psalms, we should be aware that we need to remember the psalms is in common with all the scripture, and they are God's word. So God speaks to his people through psalms. If you're going through a different or difficult situation in your life, you can find a psalm for you. If you're going through a happy time in your life, you can find a psalm for you. So every circumstances of your life, you will find a psalm for you. So I would like you to take the psalm and make this psalm your own this morning. And I believe God encourages us to use the language of the psalms to speak to him as well. We also need to speak to God. The psalms do not merely reflect the experience of particular individuals, such as the psalmist, but they reflect the human experience in general. These psalms can speak to all of us as we go through life's experience. But the good advice, as I said, and I will just to give you again, make the psalm, when you read it, a personal psalm for you. And this is the first psalm, actually, of the second book, because psalms are divided in five books. Just to share general, generally with you, what really God wants to speak to us this morning. And I found in this psalm four things, which is very common in the lives of people. First, I find an invocation of God. Secondly, I find a complaint. I'm sure all of you have called upon the name of the Lord. That's why you're here this morning. And everybody also complains somehow. How many of you have never complained in your life? You see? So also there is a petition in the psalm. So there is an invocation of God, there is a complaint, and there is a petition. And finally, there is a declaration of trust and praise in God. So why the psalm is attributed to the sons of Korah, as I said, the text is written in the first person, singular. That means it's your psalm. It's for you, personally. So please, I said, make it yours. The psalmist, he laments all the troubles that he has endured in his exile. It looks like the person who is in this town is somewhere, prevented to go anywhere else. He feels himself trapped. Many people these days are trapped. Some people feel that they life conditions, their circumstances do not allow them to do things or to go anywhere. You may be restricted physically. You may are restricted emotionally, somehow, or financially. You want to do things, but you just can't do it. He laments, but this psalmist, he laments his remoteness from the temple of God. And he expresses his desire for the renewal of the divine presence. Is anything to do with you this morning? How can we see ourselves through this sound? Have we called upon the name of the Lord? Do we have a complaint for the Lord this morning? He wants to hear it. As is true of many of the psalms, the first of Psalm 42 and 43, they are actually, they alternate between discouragement and hope, doubt and faith. He's said that the Psalm 42 and 43 was written as one psalm. We don't know how they became separate, but it doesn't really matter for us now. But the writer has experienced some kind of distress. One possibility is that, as I said, he has been taken into exile and is far from home, and he remains in the hands of the enemy. Either was the sons of Korah who wrote it, or was probably David. We don't know who actually wrote the psalm. Maybe David in his days that he was probably running away from Saul. He probably longed to be, because in those days the desire to seek God was very connected to the temple. So in such condition, he longs for God's fellowship in God's temple. So his soul, his entire being, pants, longs for God, even as a deer longs for water when it's been pursued by hunters. That's the first verse of the psalm. So in verse 2 to verse 4, there is a question the writer makes. When can I go and meet with God? When can I go and meet with God? Do you have that desire, sir? This question possibly details his current situation as if he prevented from going to the temple as he used to, and then have fellowship. He misses God's fellowship. He says that his tears have been his food on verse 3. And how can we interpret that verse? Rather than pointing to the poetic language on how to express a great sorrow. How many of us have cried so many times through the night, longing for something, some kind of deliverance? We need to get rid of something that is weighing you down, is pulling you down. Maybe you're worried about your own children. You may be worried about your career. You may be worried about your life, your family, your marriage. Although people mocked him by suggesting his God left him, all he can do is to do something wonderful. He brings to memory his past experience with God. It is good. We cannot leave in past experience and stay there forever, but it's good to remember them, to bring them to memory, to know that our God is a good God, that our God is a gracious God. And all he can do is just do that. And as he does it, he experiences of joy and thanksgiving for what God has done for him. And that gives him hope. And on verse 5, what I noticed was the repetition of this self-reflecting question. It is a self-reflecting question. We should ask that ourselves. Why, my soul, are you downcast? What is it? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Sing this repetition three times in Psalm 42 and 43. Twice in 42 on verse 5 and 11. I came to my own conclusion when reflecting on this psalm that is much more than a refrain. I believe the writer was having his profound insight into how he could deal with the possible feeling of depression, although he couldn't coin it as such. Sometimes we think that depression is only for those who do not know the Lord. There are times in our life that we feel that way. I don't know how about you these days. You may feel lonely. And you may be asking yourself, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why? He recognized that even though he could be susceptible to become downcast from time to time, yet he learned that this is not the state that he wanted to remain in. It's okay to feel downcast. It is okay to feel depressed sometimes, but God doesn't want it to stay like that. It's similar to when we make an altar call. We say to people, God, invites you to come the way you are. Just come as you are. But let me tell you, that's true. But he does not want you to stay like that. He calls you for you to be changed and transformed by his power, because the gospel of Christ Jesus transformed people's lives. Now, his troubles do not arise from an outward cause. It is within. It is within. It is from the absence of God. That's what we see. That's what we picture here. When was the last time we were downcast ourselves? Not because of the circumstances around us, but because of the absence of God in our lives. Do we feel that? We should feel that. No, that was still faith. Affection. The going forth of his whole being towards God in love and desire, but there seemed to be no response. So in this verse, the psalmist talks to his soul. That's why this psalm, it is a personal psalm, written in the first person singular, for you to reflect and ask yourself the same question, why are you downcast, oh my soul? He basically asked himself, what's the matter with you? What's going on inside you? Have you forgotten God? Have you forgotten his promises? Have you forgotten his faithfulness, his love, and his mercy? Let me tell you, every single day you wake up, the first thing you and I should do, I do that as often as I can remember my days. Every single day when I open my eyes, I say, the Lord God has renewed his mercy once again, and I'm grateful. Give me the opportunity to show your grace to somebody else. Have you forgotten what God has done for you? Bring to your memory the good things God has done for you and see the new things he wants to give you. He sees that the cause of the downcast is not in God, but was in himself. Was in himself. For him to abide in this state is unreasonable. It's contrary to his past experience. It's inconsistent with God's mercy over his life and the truth in his life that God is a good God and that God has delivered Israel from many occasions. Now he sees that and remembers, and he desires for that again. And then the psalmist tells himself what to do about it. You see, it's good. This self-reflection, it is a great opportunity for us not only to remember who God is, what God has done, but also to encourage ourselves, because we can see the truth. Because God speaks to us. And he says, put your hope in God. But I will yet praise him. The deer panting for the water, but the water brooks. Imaged the grief of his heart, a thirst after God. The Jordan, with its winding rapids, and the text we just read said, deep calling into deep, reflected the commotions of his soul. I want something more than my feelings is giving me now. I want something more than what my eyes is showing me. I'm calling for the deep of the depth of God. And reminded him of his distance from home and from the house of God. But he encouraged himself by meditation and prayer and the hope of a better time. You know, I see at the end of this psalm, the godly man cast down and then the godly man comforted. What I see here is what God wants to give you these days. I don't know how you're coping with this time of COVID. Many people are lonely as never before. Cannot socialize or be in church or be with their loved ones, and maybe felt lonely. Loneliness has been one of the biggest, and depression has been one of the biggest results of this time. But I want to remind you that you have a good God. And if you're longing for his presence, you never go lonely. You can never stay lonely. You can never remain lonely. You know, you may take this psalm as a picture of a spiritual depression. If you somehow feel the same way, I want to encourage you and challenge you to tell your soul right now. And I would like you to close your eyes just for a moment. To ask your soul, why are you so downcast today? Why are you in despair, oh my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? The Lord is answering you, hope in God, but I shall yet praise him. The help of my countenance and my God. Lord God, in times such as these, we come before your word as a mirror. We can see the reflection of ourselves in this psalm. Lord, help me. When was the last time I desired what this psalm is desiring? Is as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Lord, I have many times taken for granted your presence and just went on with my life, doing things as I thought was good, made decisions as I thought I was right, to find out at the end that I wasn't. Lord, forgive me for the times I have taken the choice or the lead of my life without asking you for guidance. I pray for my brother and my sister here this morning who have gone through difficult times, those who have made choices and cannot undo them, and maybe still having the consequences of their choices, of their decision. Lord, thank you because you're God who does not come to put guilt on us for us to keep feeling down and downcast. Because your God will come with your mighty presence, your sweet presence, and offer us peace. In spite of our decisions, your gracious God who is showing grace to us. I pray for my brother and my sister, anyone may feel lonely these days, maybe feel abandoned by family or loved ones. I do pray that your Holy Spirit will comfort, them, that your presence will bring such comfort. And will reply in the same way the psalmist did. Yet I will praise him. My Lord, my God, thank you so much this morning for each and every one here. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to sing with you a song, Draw Me Close to You. And also giving you a little bit more time to reflect even more on this psalm and tell him, Lord, I may feel like the psalmist, away from home, away from your temple, away from your presence. But please, draw me close to you. You know, he's a faithful God, and he will never let you go. He will hold you very close. Let's sing, shall we? If you lay to stand with you, your eyes stay upon you. Just to say a yet, I will praise him. Father, I want to thank you for my brother and sister once again, and I pray that you will bless each and every one. That you bless their heart, their family, Lord. Bless whatever they do. Prosper this church, O God. We pray for salvation around this neighborhood. Let the people around this place know that here there's a people that unites in Jesus' name, and that they serve the living God. So let these people know through their characters, through their testimony, and also as they listen to the worship that they raise to you, because it's just, Lord, a response to a grateful heart. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's say grace together.